Great. So we're going to have lots of people up here today. I just asked the I'm teaching on or preaching on just the power of testimonies. So we're going to call up the three our friends from Bethel, Austin, Sarah, and Matthew. Matthew was actually born in Johannesburg. So he can still say the and all those difficult Afrikaans words. So I'm just going to ask you to share a testimony. You can stand wherever. You guys are welcome to stay
in. Awesome. My name is Austin, and obviously I'm from the States. I'm from Texas, and I'm just so happy to be here with you guys today. When I walked into the service, I just was immediately aware of the presence of God in here. It's so thick. The Old Testament says the kabod, the thick weight of His glory. And I just felt that as I came in here, physical, tangible presence of God. You know, Moses was talked of as a friend of God. That's what God actually said. He said that Moses was His friend, that He sat face to face with Him. And face to face can be interpreted as the presence. He sat in the presence of God. And in the presence of God is where transformation happens. And you guys, I'm so honored to be here today in such a thick presence of God that you guys have prepared. Your pastor here asked me to share some testimonies, and I'm extremely excited about testimonies. I absolutely love watching the Lord work. Yesterday, I was just in a township, and I cannot recall the name, but it was out by Nisna. And in the township, we were just going door to door praying for everyone, and it was just amazing because where I'm from, people normally turn you away more than they accept prayer. But here, they were lining up and asking us to come and pray for them and bless their homes and everything. And three young men came walking through the town, and all the children scurried away, and I guess they said they were some sort of gangsters or something. I just personally thought they were well-dressed. And we just approached them and said, "Hey, do you guys have anything wrong with you? Do you have anything, pain in your body or anything like that?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay." And they said, one of them said, stepped out and said, "I have pain in my shoulder." And so we said, "Okay. Well, we believe the Lord wants to heal you today. Actually, He sent us here just to pray for the sick." And so we prayed for this one fellow, and instantly he was healed. And he sat there kind of, and he was healed. And so then we had his other two friends there, and they both said that they also had shoulder pain, which was crazy, but all in the left shoulder, all sort of right here. And so what we did was we said, "Okay, we're going to pray for you, the second guy." So I prayed for him. He did not get healed the first time. But then I felt, while I was in the township, the Lord just kept speaking to me that these people had heard the good news, but they hadn't seen or felt the good news. And so I allowed his friend, the guy who first got healed, to pray for him. And instantly, he was healed. And then, on top of that, the other friend steps up, and he didn't even want to admit. At first, I asked him probably three times if he had anything wrong with him, and he said, No. I was like, "No, there's something wrong with you." The Spirit was telling me, "There's something wrong with you." He said, "Yes, my shoulder's hurting too." And so the other two prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. Isn't God just amazing? He's amazing. And then on top of that, see, because my passion is not that people would see the gospel demonstrated, but that they would be changed by the gospel. Okay, because whenever Jesus did a miracle, He sozoed the person. Sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. He made them whole. Okay, so I then wanted to activate them and have a little fun. I said, "Hey, do you guys want to have 30 seconds of fun?" And they said, "Okay." They were still kind of weirded out. They're like, "Why are we healed?" And I just started preaching the gospel a little bit to them. And then I had them actually start moving out in words of knowledge. So I was, you guys are familiar what words of knowledge are? Yes, okay. So I said, "All right, you're going to get his birthday." And the guy, I said, "You only need a brief second. Just say, 'Holy Spirit, what's his birthday?'" And he says, "Holy Spirit, what's his birthday?" And he gets the exact date of his birthday. Now, I'll tell you, these are people who have never experienced the presence of God before. They're healed and they're activated in the Spirit. And they all began to just get the other person's birthday. There was only one correct from one of the guys, and then I got one of the guys' birthday correct, and it was just amazing. you know, in that very same township that day, I went to a household, and they really didn't want to let us in, but it was more polite to allow us to come in. And so one of the girls, you know, it almost seemed like we were intruding upon them. And, you know, the gospel is intrusive, but it's not, it's welcoming. The Father came with the Father's love. And so I just felt the Father's love moving here. And these two girls, at first, they were laughing at us. I was prophesying over them, and they were kind of just laughing and joking. And then I just felt a sovereign move of the Lord. And I sat back and I said, you know, I don't expect anything from you guys. I didn't come here to see anything. I didn't come here to see a healing. I came here for you to experience the goodness of God, because it's the goodness of God and the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And in that moment, I began to get words about her father, and she was absolutely blown away by the Lord was there to give her words about a father. And then I asked him, I said, do you guys want to experience the goodness of the Father? How many here want to experience the goodness of the Father? That's the most selfless thing we can do, is actually to receive his love. Jesus, when he started his ministry, he was baptized, and the Father came down. It said that the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and he said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Yeah, that's a testimony right there. The Father says we're well pleased. He's well pleased with us, rather. And I just began to just speak over them good words, and then I said, just invite Holy Spirit to come and move. And they invited Holy Spirit to come and move. And these people who have never experienced the Spirit of God began, they said, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel this tingling in my hands. And this smile came over their face, and I have this joy inside my heart. They couldn't help from laughing. And so that's just crazy. And then I have one last testimony. I was told to share three. Do I have time? I have time. I have time. Awesome. Sorry, once you get me going, I just can't stop. So just getting here to Bethel, I had to pay about 31,000 Rand. Yes. Huh? To get to South Africa, 31,000 Rand. And I also had to pay 44,000 Rand to attend school. I'm from a school, Bethel in California. I know you guys are familiar with it. And for me, I was making about 80 Rand an hour. And I really did not have the means to get here. And I just came here today to say the Lord provides. How many of you guys know the Lord provides? Yeah, I know you. I'm sure you guys can share testimonies about the Lord providing. But I went to Reading with about $1,000, about 100,000 Rand that I had saved up. And I needed 440,000, I guess. Am I doing the math right? No, I'm not. 44,000. I had 10,000 Rand. And I needed 44,000, and I basically just believed in the Lord, and within a week, showed up. I look at my account, and it says, your tuition has been paid in full. In fact, you're getting a rebate on your money. I actually got about 4,000 Rand back from the school, so that was amazing. That really tied me over my first month. I was then provided a manager job. And then on top of that, I was like, I committed to coming to South Africa, but to be honest, I really didn't believe that I would actually go. I was like, well, yeah, I'll go, but I don't know if I'll have 31,000 Rand by the time being. Well, we have a deadline, January 9th, and in January 9th, we're at 12 o'clock noon, we had to have 17,000 Rand in our account, and 12 o'clock rolls around, and I have about 10,000 Rand in my account. And I just tell my leader, hey, I don't have the money. I just don't have it. I guess it's not God's will that I should go. And we can just laugh at that. It was definitely God's will that I should be here. And so I call a couple people. No one answers. And then I get a random call, and somebody says, my aunt says, how much do you need? And I said, I need about 4,000 Rand to make my deadline today. She says, you got it. And within 6 days of that, now I had been raising money for 2 months, and I got 10,000 Rand. Within 6 days of that, I had enough money to pay for the entire trip to South Africa. And then on top of that, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need money to pay for my rent while I'm gone. Yeah, this is crazy. This is crazy. I said, I need about 7,400 Rand. And I just wrote it out in a budget. And I believe the Lord. I mean, the Lord had just provided. So I was like, all right, Lord, you'll provide. And Ephesians talks about, Ephesians chapter 3, that he does exceedingly above anything we ask, think, or imagine. And so I'm here today. I raised 12,000 Rand without sending out a single email, without sending out a single message, just people just sending me money. So just praise the Lord. He's a provider.
Okay, let's say Austin is awesome.
Good morning. My name is Sarah. I am a second-year student at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and I'm originally from Oregon, which is like a state right above California. But I'm so happy to be here and just get to share God's love with you and just get to share a little bit of what God's been doing the last few days. And we've been seeing God do some incredible things in the townships, but something was really impactful for me is that when we landed in the airport, when we landed in Johannesburg, we just had like a few hours as a layover before we flew down here. So we're like, you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to see God do some incredible things in the airport. So we don't actually have to wait to get to our destination. We can just live a supernatural lifestyle while we're just doing life. So we were just walking along and we started talking to a few people and just sharing God's love and just asking how they were doing and how their days were going. And there was this lady that walked up. And how many know that sometimes we get words of knowledge and sometimes we have words of observation? She was wearing a boot, so that's always go. Always go. She needs healing. I don't need to hear from God to say that she needs healing because she's wearing a boot on her leg. So I walked up to her. I'm like, hey, you know, I went in love and I just asked her. I'm like, hey, you know, like what's going on with your foot? You know, it looks like you have a boot on, you know. She's like, what's going on? She's like, oh, I just had surgery a few weeks ago, and I actually had like a bone spur removed. I'm in quite a bit of pain. She says she was at a 5 out of 10, 10 being the worst pain scale, so about a 5. And she said that she had like a metal plate put on her foot. We've been seeing some crazy things happen at Bethel, and just like when we go out and pray for people, is that we've actually been seeing metal dissolve or actually get flexible. So sometimes they go back to the doctor and it's completely gone. Sometimes it's just flexible and the doctor doesn't know why they can have like full range of motion. So I'm like, okay, we can pray for you. And so she had the boot on and I prayed for about 10 seconds, really, really long, really laborious prayer. And I just said, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Like that you love her so much that you want to heal her. You want to reveal your goodness to her right now. So I just thank you for no pain in Jesus' name. And she just started feeling it. She goes, the pain's all gone. The pain's all gone. So 10 second prayer, she went from like a level 5 down to a 0 because I stepped out. And then I just started asking her, I'm like, you know, I really believe that God has his hand in your family right now, that his heart's really on that, that his compassion is just going out to you, and that I just really want to bless you for unity in your family. Like, what's going on? And she just said, you have no idea what that means to me. She's like, that's exactly what I needed today. She said that her family's been going through all this hard times. Her brother was killed in an automobile accident. And so she's like, that's really been on my heart. And the fact that I stopped her and we just started talking to her, sharing God's love, that God showed her that he loved her by healing her foot. And then we just started talking to her about how God's heart was really for her family and for her right now. And she said, thank you so much. This is exactly what I needed today. Exactly what I needed. And sometimes we get discouraged because maybe the first few people we talked to, they didn't respond, or they're like, oh, you know, I'm good. You know, we were in the airport, people were going places and I don't want to hold them up. So I was like, okay, well, thank you. Have a good day. But if I would have stopped there, I wouldn't have gotten to see God encounter that lady right there. And so just going a little bit farther than what's comfortable, it makes all the difference. And then so we're like, okay, you know, God is really moving today. We want to go see something. You know, we want to see people encounter God. And so we had a few more minutes, and I saw this group, about 4 girls, you know, maybe 15, 16 years of age. And I just walked up to them. I'm like, hi, guys, how are you doing today? And they're like, we're good. I'm like, have you ever seen a miracle? Have you ever seen God, like, heal somebody? Have you ever seen a miracle? They're looking at me like, no. You were absolutely crazy. I'm like, oh, no, 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 it's okay. This lady over here, and I just started telling them the testimony. And I just started telling them the power of the testimony. And I said, you know what? God just healed that lady over there. Her foot completely healed. Have you guys ever seen a miracle like that? They're like, no, we've never seen that at all. I'm like, do you want to see a miracle? And they're like, yeah, we want to see a miracle. I was like, okay, well, one of you has lower back pain. Which one is that? And one of the girls raised her hand. I'm like, okay, so I just really believe that one of your legs is actually longer than the other, and that God wants to grow that out right now so you don't have any lower back pain. Because sometimes, like, the alignment, we've seen, like, legs from about that much longer to about that much longer, you know, they just grow out, become even, all the back pain disappears. And so I was like, why don't you just sit down right here? So we had her sit down, and with her friends watching, her three friends, her leg grew out right there. She got up, all of her back pain was gone. And she could, isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. All of her back pain was gone. She's like, I felt a pulling in my leg. She's like, I actually felt that. And all of her friends were watching. I was like, okay, who else wants a miracle? And there was this one girl who had like a problem with her knee, and she's like, well, I have knee pain. I think actually my teammate got a word of knowledge for her knee. And so like, well, why don't you sit down? Like, I actually believe one of your legs is a little bit shorter than the other, and God wants to heal you just in his presence. And so we sat her down. I'm like, I just believe that, like, by us praying, your knee's going to get healed, your leg's going to grow out, God's just going to take care of it all. So we sat her down. I had one of her friends pray for her, and her leg grew out. She got up, no knee pain whatsoever, 100% no pain. Thank you, Jesus. Then we're like, okay, you know, this is going really good. Who else wants a miracle? You know, God is here, and he's moving, and we're just in the middle. We're probably in, like, the food restaurant area, just talking to them about God. People were walking by, but they were encountering the love of God in the middle of the airport. That's crazy. 3 years ago, I had no idea that God was even healing people these days. I'd never seen anything I read in the Bible, but I had no idea. But just hearing testimonies like this just started stirring up my hunger. I'm like, this is actually what's possible with God. Like, life with God can be really exciting and really fun. Like, just going out and seeing people loved and encountered by God in the middle of your day, it's incredible. I can't even explain the feeling. But we ended up seeing another girl's back getting completely, all the pain left. She said that she felt like she was completely healed. And we just got to prophesy over them. We just got to speak God's love and his heart over them. And we ended up getting words of knowledge. We're like, one of you actually really likes riding horses. Which one of you is that? And she just looked at us and she just started crying. And she's like, you know, she just felt like God knew her. Sometimes people don't know that. But we got to just intercept them in the middle of their daily life and tell them that God loves them. God wants to heal them. They ended up all, I just had them, like, stick out their hands. I'm like, have you ever felt God's presence? And have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, we haven't. I'm like, well, just put out your hands like this. I'm like, do you guys want the same ability to be able to pray for people? Do you want that passion and that fire? And, like, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, we haven't. I'm like, okay, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive this fire? And so they're like, yeah, we do. Because they all knew Jesus, but they didn't know no God that could move in that power. So they all put out their hands. I just said, I want you to repeat after me, come Holy Spirit. And they're like, come Holy Spirit, fill me up. Like, fill me up. And all of a sudden, they just felt God's presence. And they just, some of them felt tingling in their hands. Some of them just were overwhelmed with tears, and they just felt God's love. Some of them just felt heat all over their bodies. And then we're like, thank you so much for the honor of letting us pray for you. Like, we just fully believe that those girls are never going to be the same again. Never going to be the same again. And this is what's possible with God. And it's so easy and it's so fun because it's not actually me. It's just Jesus moving through me. So just bless you guys. This church is incredible. I feel God's presence, and oh, you guys are already moving so much compassion, love, and power. So thank you. I just hear God saying, thank you for stewarding my glory so well and my love. So just bless you all.
Let's say Sarah is awesome. Doesn't rhyme, but it's...
Hi, I'm Matthew, born in Johannesburg. A few years ago, I lived in the Groot Karoo, so I can't speak a little bit of Afrikaans. But net a little bit, so I'm going to speak in English. It's really such a privilege to be here. You guys, Amos, an amazing pastor. You guys are really blessed to have a pastor like him. And what the guys are saying about just when we walked in, it's so clear that, that God is walking among you guys, and it's a real privilege to be here. I've got a few testimonies. One, 2 years ago when I was going to Bethel, when I was making the decision to go, it was one of those, you know, sometimes decisions are really hard. You kind of, I don't know if any of you ever feel completely double-minded over a decision, but it feels like all circumstances are making you go the one way. But you feel this tug, you know, this like delight in your heart pulling you another way. I'd been working in London for 14 months as a business consultant. And when I was making the decision to come to Bethel, it coincided with me having a bit of an incident, and I had to go and spend 11 days in hospital, and I had a heart operation, and it was quite a big ordeal at the time. And my family was totally against me going to Bethel, or at least my father was, and he said, you're going to lose your job, you're never going to get another job, and said all these things. And God is just amazing, the way he provides, because if I'm honest, it was a really tough decision to make in the end. But I decided, look, I'm probably going to lose this job. It was a great job. I really liked it. But I just felt that going to Bethel was what I needed to do. And so eventually I approached my boss and I said, look, I want to go to California and I'm going to go to this Christian leadership school. And they decided they wanted to keep me on. So I ended up keeping my job whilst working mornings in California. And what was extraordinary was, whilst there in California, I had the best year of my life, just experiencing the presence of God and being transformed in that supernatural culture. But something that happened was I was working on a project which was helping a company to set up a new business in South Africa. And a relationship which I had through my father with someone in South Africa, it had all just perfectly aligned. So even though I was quite a junior guy in the company, I managed to set up a connection which ended up building a new team out in South Africa. The whole deal went through, and I think it's already created about 1,200 jobs in South Africa. It was the best thing that's ever happened to my company, and it looks like in the next few years it's going to create up to 5,000 jobs here. And so when I looked at all the circumstances with my brain, I thought I was going to lose my job. I mean, when I followed my father's fear, there was, you know, it was a pretty bad, you know, situation. But what God did is he did over and abundantly, exceedingly beyond all I could have asked, thought of, or imagined. And so I had so much favor that when I came back for my second year, my job was like, come, we're going to keep you on anyway. And so I probably have one of the better paid student jobs in Reading, working half days from my house or from a coffee shop, or, you know, it's been absolutely extraordinary. Anyway, a couple other testimonies. Last year we came here in Knysna. We were in, I think it's Kichlani, one of the townships, and it was one of the most extraordinary miracles I'd ever seen. We were in one of the houses, and a woman had been in a car accident, and we were told that she was going to have her legs rebroken in an operation. And one of my friends stood up. I didn't feel like I had any faith, so I said, this is my friend, Jathan. He is full of faith. He shall pray for you, and you will be healed. And he stood up with this extraordinary faith, and he said, a bit like Smith Wigglesworth, and he said, I will lay these hands on your legs, you'll feel the fire of God, and you will stand. And so he did that, and this woman stood up, and she started sprinting on the spot, and the whole place absolutely erupted, and there were a couple other crazy healings that broke out. Things, I mean, there was a woman who'd been hit by her husband with a stick on her arm, and she could barely move it. And so we were all praying for her like mad, and I said, look, test it out, try it out. And she was almost in tears trying to move her arm. And so we just said, I don't know, let's just thank God for healing that other lady. And whilst we were just praising God, saying, thank you, God, a little crowd of us for healing this lady, suddenly I looked down, and she's like, you know, completely healed her arm. And it was amazing, and the rest of the team had the kids, they were all praying, and they got them praying and tongues and the whole thing went crazy. It was a really beautiful experience. But yesterday I got to go back and see that lady. Her name's Sylvia. And because, oh yeah, I've been like, you know, wrestling, you know, you can get skeptical about these things. Like, really, what was the, you know? And so I went back and I saw her, and she just arrived back as I got to her house. It was amazing that we managed to find it. And she said, I was like, tell me in my best Afrikaans. I was like, what was the problem? And so she was like, well, she said that she couldn't walk. Ik kan nie loop nie, whatever it was. But and then you guys prayed and she could walk, and she was still full of the joy of the Lord. And so she said, look, I said, look, is there anyone else who needs prayer? Take us. So she leads us in this little rabbit trail to another woman's house. This woman's been shot in the head, and she, half her body is like in pain and not really working properly. She's got blurred vision. And so we're there, the team, and we're just praying for her. We're like, Lord, heal this lady. And not immediately, nothing happened. But I kept looking at the lady who's, you know, she couldn't walk. Now she can walk. So my faith is sort of through the roof. I'm like, I know this is going to happen. So we just keep praying. I ended up just dancing with her. It kept getting a little bit better. And we were like, we're not stopping till we get 100%. So we started jumping around the house, just going 100%, 100%, 100%, 100%, dancing with her. And then she, at the end, she had this big grin on her face. She was like, 100%. And so she was like, you have to pray for my daughter. The daughter didn't want to be prayed for, but her boyfriend had pain in his stomach. I think he had diarrhea or something. He said it was 9 out of 10 pain. And we laid hands on him. It reduced to 6 out of 10. And then we just said, God, thank you. Just, you know, we just release the power and the fire of God that all the pain will leave. And suddenly he goes like this. He's like, all the pain's gone. And he started hitting his stomach and going, oh, anyway, it was just extraordinary. And there's power in the testimony. And remember the testimony. Anyway, we just praise you, God. Thank you for what you do. It's very important when we hear testimonies. It reveals something about the nature of God. It's not just the works, it's the ways and who he is. So anyway, it's an honor to be here.
Ingrid. You can just sit there. I think we like looking at you guys. Matthew's also awesome. Let's say that. Matthew, you're awesome. Okay. Obviously, you don't want to hear from me now, but I just need to, it's one idea, one concept that they were actually referring to a lot in their testimonies that I want to share with. Let's do it in English so that you can understand. It's Revelation 10:19. It says this, and actually I got it from, I must say, it's not my revelation, but it's something that God has been speaking to me about a lot. Just the power of a testimony, power of sharing something that Jesus did in your life. Just sharing it with whoever. You have probably heard this one a lot, where I was confronted with somebody manifesting. I didn't know that I was really spiritual, powerful, or had authority in Jesus Christ, and I prayed in the tongues, and this thing just turned to his head and looked me in the eye and just started screaming at me. I think all of you have heard that. But for me, that is my testimony, and I'll keep on sharing it, because the moment I share it, I remind myself of what God, our God, great God is, but also I create an atmosphere for people to experience the same thing. People say, well, Armour is just a normal man. Sometimes he irritates me, he frustrates me. But wow, God worked through him that day. So obviously God can work through me also. So this is Revelation 10:19. We're just going to do the one scripture. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So basically, if we want to do, let's do a quick. Exegesis is the big word. Exegesis, can you say that? Exegesis. Okay, that's one of those words. If you want to sound clever, just say, I'm busy exegeting this passage of scripture. And when I told Austin that he must laugh at my jokes. So if he starts laughing, I don't know. Really, it's just the American thing. Okay. So let's look at the two concepts. The first one, and it's very, very free interpreted, but it's, I believe, so powerful. It says, the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? Yes, it's the testimony of what Jesus did, but it's also the testimony of what Jesus did through your life. So you, all of us sitting here, and I know most of you here, have a testimony, something that Jesus did in your life. And it starts with your salvation. It starts with you being filled with the Spirit. You had an experience. Some of you had extraordinary miracle testimonies. I know I referred to Rolf's testimony there in India with his dad. Amazing stories. And Rolf, the first thing that you do when you go into that church, just tell them, hey, I'm Rolf. I went to India last year and this is what happened. Just to stir their faith a bit and tell them how great disciple you were and George. So it's something that Jesus did in your life. Anything. Just the testimony of Jesus. And it could be really any story of, and I love Matthew, also your story of how God blessed you, providing even financially for so many other families, an idea that created wealth for other families. Amazing. And if you think of something that George needs, is we need entrepreneurs in this town. So let's take that testimony. You're going to pray for us for that. Okay, so that is the first thing. Something he has done. It can even be a scripture. It can be. I'm reading through the Gospels, just the Gospel of John again, and I'm like, wow, Jesus did a couple of great things, and he did some funny things also, and he said some great stories. But the testimony of Jesus, that is important. Then the second part of the scripture, it speaks of the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy you can do in two, where you can sum it in two words. All it's foretelling, in other words, you say, like Isaiah predicted Jesus. He said, okay, this is how the Messiah is going to look like. 600 years before Jesus came. And he said he will be bruised. And his stripes will be healed, Isaiah 53, and the songs of the servant. You can go and read it. So it's foretelling of what's going to happen in the future. Even like the prophet Agabus, he tied something around his waist to tell that this is what's going to happen to Paul. Foretelling. Prophecy is foretelling. But then the other part is foretelling, like Ezekiel 37. God comes to Ezekiel and say, okay, you see these dry bones. Okay, now you, son of man, you prophesy. You speak the word. And as he spoke the word, life came into the bones. They actually started becoming living beings. Same type of prophecy that you see when God created the world with a word. He spoke a word and it just happened. So when we prophesy, we sometimes foretell what's going to happen in the future, how it's going to play out. But many times we just foretell. We say, this is how it will be. Like today, we were doing foretelling also with little Daniel, saying, Daniel is a wise man. He is a Daniel. If you give, when Daniel received the name, he got that name. He is a Daniel. And then, so let's combine the two. The testimony of Jesus, in other words, something that Jesus did in your life, a miracle, salvation, a story, is the spirit of prophecy. So it means that when we tell a testimony, we release an anointing, we release the power, we create an atmosphere for that testimony to be recreated in somebody else's life. Do you understand that? So when you tell the testimony, you create an atmosphere for that testimony to be recreated in somebody else's life. And if we're going to, that's why in Shofar we have a massive mission culture. I was in Stellenbosch. I think we're sending, it's like 100 and, I don't know how many, you maybe better than you know. Eh? It's like there's a book full of mission teams going out into the world. But we have a mission testimony culture. So people say, no, just go on missions. Oh, where are we going? Pakistan. Oh, my mom's not going to like that. And they go to Pakistan. No, I've been there. And then they share the testimony. They share of the miracles that happened. Oh, they were, people told them no, or the God Spirit told them no, don't be there. And then the bomb lands there. And go to Iran, go to Uganda, go to Sri Lanka. We're sending out a team to Sri Lanka. Ben is leading the team, the sound man there at the back. We're going to Transkei. We're going to Mozambique. But there's a mission culture. Now, what I saw, and I started off in Stellenbosch as working with the missions. And as this testimony started coming back, people started believing that they can actually go on missions to a different part, to India, and not get sick of diarrhea and that. And now it's just normal for people to say, okay, let's go to Sri Lanka, let's go to India, let's go to Pakistan. Every year we're sending a team to Pakistan. There's been teams to Jordan. I think last year they went to, was it Iraq? North Korea. So it's amazing. But that is what we have, and that's amazing. But we need all the other testimonies. We need your testimony about financial breakthrough. And in this town, we need testimonies of how you struggled with your marriage, and you say, okay, but this is how God helped me. I started loving my wife again, and now we're together again. Or my son, Rebel, he was a rebel, and he came back, and this is what happened. This is what Jesus did. So the moment we start sharing of God's goodness and God's testimonies, that is this atmosphere that we create. So in terms of creating a culture in Shofar George in the city, we want people to walk in here and they must just hear, wow, God restores marriages. Wow, God gives a plan that gives wealth to so many, that gives business opportunities to so many other people. Wow, God works supernaturally. God gives words of knowledge. God loves me. I just love. Oh, wow, God is so joyful. A testimony of God's joy. Wow, God does this. He helped me with this thing. But we start sharing it. We must, if you don't keep it for yourself, even that old testimony that you forget about. Okay, so let's call it the day. This is, sermon is finished. Telelestai, what's telelest? What is going on? Okay, so I want, some of you are going to feel intimidated by their testimonies because they are just amazing testimonies. But last yesterday, and Daniel, their team leader, just broke it open for me. They came here all the way from America. We did praise and worship, and it was amazing. And they gave a couple of words, but then they made us prophesy for each other. Then they said, okay, now you're gonna do it for yourself. So what are we going to do now? You have 1 minute. 30, you're going to do it in 30 seconds. We can try and concentrate it. You're going to tell just one thing that God did for you. Because what we then, what you do is, you say, okay, I'm willing to take the risk and to bring out my testimony and to share with other people. But also, I know your testimony will inspire other people. And I don't want us just to come and receive from them. And that is amazing. We will see receive from them. And we, like it says in the Bible, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. What's happening in Bethel, if you receive a Bethel person in a Bethel way, then you will get the Bethel reward. And that is amazing revival, and it's amazing influence. It's amazing. It's lots of things that we can receive. But let's step out. Bring your testimony, 30 seconds and 1 minute. We're going to do 5 to 10 quickly. And then we're going to ask them to pray for us. Because one of the testimonies that I just loved that Austin shared was of not only praying for people and people receiving God's goodness and whatever God has for them, salvation, but also activating them to do the same thing, getting the word of knowledge for a birthday. And so today you maybe would need to pray, Austin, for all the men that they remember their wives' birthdays for the word of knowledge. Okay, come. Okay, let's line up here. We're going to do it very quickly. 30 seconds to a minute. Clive, if Clive does that, then you know. Okay.
Hi, everybody. About 2 weeks ago, we went to Cape Town to look for a house and a school for my son. And it was quite a mission. But yeah, God bless us with a nice house after 4 days. And the Cape Town is so exploded that the schools are full. And where we found a place to live, we went to the nearest school. The lady said to me, sorry, I've got no place for your son. And she said, you don't even need to bother asking the rest of the schools because they're so overstocked. I was sitting there with tears in my eyes, and I said to the lady, now where must I go with my son? I cannot keep him out of school. And she said to me, you know what, yes, somewhere is a private school, go there, you know. And I thought, okay, what the heck, sorry for the word, but that was in my mind. And I thought, okay, because we said, Lord, we don't know, it's nothing comes together. And we eventually went there, but just before we went to Cape Town, the Lord showed me how we put a crown on Stephen's head, and his spiritual name, meaning for his name, is Crowned One. And I went there, and I said to the lady, please just tell me you've got space. She said, yes, school is 2 years old. Now, immediately you feel skeptical, you know, it's not a very, they're not that well up and running. And she gave me the application form, and yeah, the Lord just bowled me off my feet. And the weapon, ach, die wapen, what do you call it? Yeah, a crown. I said, no, I want to share with them. And there was a crown in the middle. I said to the lady, why is there a crown? She said to me, because we're a Christian school and we believe in destined for greatness. And the Lord showed me, this is where I'm going to plant him. So you know what? God is good.
Okay. 10 seconds faster.
Yes, sir.
We need at least 3 people more. So.
Okay. I just felt that I have to share this specific testimony. It was when I was in my 4th year. I was studying alone in our student house for the weekend. All my housemates went away for the weekend to study at home. And that afternoon, one of my friends came to visit, and then she said she's going to go to the shop, and I fell asleep on the bed like you always do when you study. And then I just had this dream about a girl walking past our kitchen window coming to break in. And then I realized, but the gate isn't locked. And I jumped up and I ran to the gate and I lock it and there's nothing, it's day and everything. And then just went on with my day, and the night I was sleeping. And then I woke up thinking, yes, I'm sleeping so well tonight. This is an awesome night. I'm going to turn around now and sleep more. I don't know who has thoughts like that in the middle of the night. But anyway, and then the next moment, I hear people talking outside my window. Or actually, my window is just next to the kitchen window. And it's a girl and a guy. And I hear them trying to open the window. And I'm like, what is this? So I get up, and it's wooden floors, so I make a noise on the floors and put on the lights. And then they sort of got a scare, and they started going around the house, and I just called the other guys living in the flat behind me and everything. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, like, and then I also went back to my study pad the next morning where I was studying the previous day, and actually I just wrote down can't even remember, but it's Psalm 36 or something like that. Like, the Lord is my refuge, my ever strong tower in times of trouble. I wrote it down the previous day. I got a dream about a girl coming to break in. Who you ever think a girl is coming to break into your house? And and he woke me up, and he just like protected me. And like in South Africa, we are sometimes so filled with fear and everything, but it's not like I never experienced fear, but I know that God is with me, and like fear isn't in control.
Okay, Dads, I know you'll be quick, brother.
Kort en krachtig. Yeah, I always try to pray for the people around me, and I've got like neighbors in the first house. As you come into our flats there, we've got 6 houses. And I know the people, and I try to reach out to them always. But the people there, they smoke and they drink and stuff like that. But the one day I was just there, and I was speaking to the people and the Tanyan woman. The guy was having an operation for his cancer and stuff. And I was just stepping out in boldness, and I was just testing them. And just, can I pray for this guy? And they were open for it. So I just went ahead and prayed for them. And the lady was just like, yes, Lord, and, you know, that stuff. But, yeah, I was just praying for them just to release something, and a week later I was there back again, and I was just speaking normally just about God and Christian stuff and so on. And and I was just speaking to the lady, and I was asking her about this mark on her arm, and she was just telling me about this accident she was in, and it's like 2-5 years back, And she was in heavy pain, and her arm was broken, and her leg, and she would not be able to walk. And she just, like, told me about, she was there in pain, and she had nothing, she was hopeless, and she just, like, got quiet, and just, the Lord just spoke to her. And she just started speaking to the Lord more and more and more. And now, yeah, she's walking, can walk. And she would not have been able to walk because her pelvis was broken. So it's just like a testimony of people just can heal yourself and stuff, man. And if you step out in faith. Amen.
So I just wanted to quickly tell you about, you remember the time that Omo had the altar call that we could come and stand in the gap for someone that you want to get saved? So I came forward for my brother. He knew the Lord and then drifted away, whatever. And then, like, 2 weeks after that, he starts sending me these messages. Like, he was on the beach and worshiping on his own. The Lord just blessed him with random. I'm like, yes, this is random. Okay, this is just a phase. It's going to go. It's going to blow over. It just kept going from there. He just really experiences the Lord. He has such an intimate relationship with him. And it's just amazing. So hallelujah, because he just brought him back.
Now, the Bible tells us when you call upon the name of the Lord, He will save you. You agree with that?
Yes.
And the Lord frequently says this with me. You must use my name more and more. What is this song? There's power in the name of Jesus, breaking down the chains, breaking down the chains. But anyway, my wife, she fell against the wall, the corner of two walls. A dog was, springing, jumped. No. He jumped. He jumped at her back, and she fell against the wall. And when I turned her about, there was about a 3 to 4 centimeter wound here that was bleeding. And the eyes were looking everywhere. And I was frightened. So I said, Jesus, help. And immediately, there was no blood anymore. So that was, it was fantastic for me. The name of Jesus is bigger than this head wound.
Okay, minutes is short, but I'll try and keep it quickly. Last week, me and Jade and Johan went for hospital ministry. I just had all reasons not to go. I was late everything, so I jumped in the car and I drive as fast as I could to get there, not to be too late. But on the way, the Lord just showed me it's going to be a battle this evening. And I prayed a lot, just for 5 minutes on my way. And once I came here, we went to pray for people. And the next moment, I got dizzy. Almost felt like all my strength left me. I just had to go and sit down, and I tried to get up again. And I just amened on everything we prayed. And then I just went and sat down again. And I decided, now I'm going to go now. I went up. I just went into the hallway. I just started praying in the spirit again, because I know there was a battle. And just I didn't walk more than 30 meters praying in the spirit, and I just felt, okay, now I'm back again. I'm right. And we go and we went into it and prayed on. I just want to tell you, the hunger of the people is just enormous. We went and prayed for a guy, and I just want to encourage you to pray what the Lord puts on your heart. While we were praying, just felt I had to pray for the doctors, and as soon as I started praying, the guy, the tears rolled down his eyes, and he just afterwards said that he had this enormous fear of being operated by young doctors, and he just thanked us for praying for him, and he said now there's no more fear, and he could go into the operation room tomorrow, and he'll know God is with him. So, yes, that's my testimony.
To live in Gauteng is not for sissies. I'm in George now, thank God. My daughter-in-law with the kids in the car, they were hijacked in our driveway at gunpoint. And when I got back later, they were waiting in the driveway to make sure I'm safe. And I said, what's going on? And I heard the story and I said, okay, good night. I think they thought I'm rude because I didn't show any sympathy. I went into my little place and I told the devil exactly where he must go. And I praised God for bringing back the car, not a scratch. And I slept. And it was about 2 hours later, my son phoned me, said, Mom, come please stay with the kids. They found Samantha's car. No scratch. I praise God. We don't have to suffer at the hand of Satan. Another thing is, a friend called me, a black friend. I've got black friends. A friend of her, the little boy, has been kidnapped. And they've already received the ransom call. And I prayed. And it wasn't long. It wasn't hours. The little boy was reunited with the parents. No ransom was paid. And the police called them. Praise God.
Okay, there's nog twee, die beste verlaaste.
Wel, ek het geweet ek gaan een of ander tyd hier staan, maar ek het net nie geweet vandag nie. Ja. Daar is iets wat lank terug gebeur het, ek was so 15, amper 16, maar dit is nog steeds 'n awesome testimony, so toe dink ek, okay, ek share dit. Daar is al klaar weer 10 sekondes voorbij met my. Ja, ek het begin skryf en soos encouraging goed neergeskryf en so in later aan, soos kon ek net nie meer slaap nie. Something het gebeur, maar kon net nie meer nie slaap raak en toe dit nou vererger en vererger. En later het dit net, soos ek dink iets het haywire gegaan. Ja. En toe, soos, ja, later het ek myself helemaal uitgebrand, want ek, ja, ek het net soos helemaal uitgebrand. En later het ek soos, kon ek nie opstaan nie, ek kon nie eers beweeg, ek het geleë daar so, en ek kon nie eers my hand optel nie, jy weet, dit is verskriklik, soos, en ek was, as my pa my net probeer optel, om my miskien vir iewers te sit, as ek so swaar, soos een lag, of soos een dooie mens, jy weet, soos verskriklik swaar, in my geval, en ja, later kon ek ook nie, ek kon nie self eet nie, want ek kan nie die vurk bring nie, ek kon ook nie eers my hande was nie. Ek kan nie eers so. Ek kan ook nie dit doen nie. En ek kon nie, ja, later kon ek nie eers mee praat nie, want ek het probeer, maar weet jy wat die deel van die brein, seker maar die linker deel of iets, ja, ach, so nervous, sorry. En ja, so toe, kon ek eers mee praat nie, en dit was net een vreselike tyd in my leven, en dit net was verskriklik erg ook op my ma, pa en broer, en so, en ek het geweet wat aangaan nie, en ja, maar dit was net, ja, en toe later aan stuur hulle my nou maar op plek toe wat my kan help, en daar was ek nou vir een ruk, op my 16e verjaarsdag, so dit was nie, jy weet, lekker nie, so, jy moet nooit klaar oor jou sweet 16e verjaarsdag, jy weet, ja. En, maar ja, in die toestand, jy weet, ek kon niks doen nie, maar hoe die Here my soos daar net gehelp het en gerestoor het en hoe hy my weer opgelig het en ek kon uit die hospitaal uitgaan en ek is helemaal geherstel, ek kan loop, ek kan praat, ek kan eet, ek kan wat ook al. Ja. Ja. Soos toe ek nou net daar sit en so in die ander gene, hulle testimonies en so, toe kry ek het net die reg om te sê nie, maar toe allemaal nou praat van hulle en hulle is awesome, toe wil ek eindelijk sê nie, maar the God of Matthew and others are awesome. They are wonderfully and fearfully made, but only God is awesome.
You must give the glory.
Caroline is awesome.
The sound man always has an excuse to stay at the sound desk. Luckily today there's another one. And I just want to testify on the favor of the Lord, a few short testimonies. Like when I was 9, we always rode bicycle to school, and in front of our school was this huge downhill. So we reached about 60 kilometers per hour. And this morning, me and my brother was racing each other a little bit. And he was in front, there was a car, and then me, I was coming behind. And as I reached the intersection at the bottom, a white golf just decided to cross the road. I hit the golf. Long story short, was in hospital for one day. I bruised my knees and smashed my finger and all. And a doctor still told my mom, you know, if this and this and this happens, you must come back immediately. Because I was afraid I might have damaged my legs. And today I can just say none of those side effects ever happened. I'm well. Okay, and then another short testimony. My father, he always has this passion for airplanes. So he decided to build his own airplane. After about 7 years, it was finished. Did lots of testing, adaptions. Okay, and the great day came. His friend was the pilot, and my father was the passenger. They developed engine trouble over Mossel Bay. They tried to reach the airport. They couldn't make it, and they came into this ravine or this valley, and there was 3 power lines. And my father still told his friend, look, do you see the power lines? He said, yes, I see the power lines. And they went over the first one, the 3 power lines, went over the first one, ducked the second one, smashed the plane to pieces. When we came there, they were still struggling to get him out. He had a fracture on his vertebra in his neck, smashed his face. He was in hospital for more than a month, and that was now 4 years ago, and I'm just happy that my father is up and going. Almost no side effects today. And then just another one. On Friday, Marie-Louise and me went hiking. And Marie-Louise, lady in pink. And I wanted to take a timed photograph. So I just put my camera on the rock there. It kept on falling. Okay, eventually I got it set up, pressed the shutter, and I knew I had 10 seconds to get across to her so that we can pose with this photo. I slipped once because this is a little stream. It was very slippery. I slipped once, got up, slipped again, and when I came to a stand, settled, I realized that my leg slipped into a crack this wide between 2 rocks, and my knee was stuck. And I knew, like, after a while, I realized that there's no signal; it's far from anybody else, and I had to rest on my hands. So she said, "Okay, I'll get you something to sit on." And as she went away to look for something, I started praying because I knew I'm stuck now. I pulled with all my might. I couldn't get my knee out. And I just said, Lord, now you really need to help me. But I didn't really feel faith. I just said, Lord, please help. Now you must intervene. I just saw in my mind how I'm waiting for the fire brigade or something for 4 hours or something. And the Lord just told me, just roll over like this and try again. And as I just moved a bit and pulled, slowly my knee just came out. No injuries or anything. So I just thank the Lord.
Can you die saying been off? Say Afrikaans, been off. It was a God playing a joke with you.
Okay, cool. I'll try to keep it in 60 seconds. So I went to my girlfriend in Australia, and my brother blessed me with money. The first thing was I didn't have 20,000 rand to go, and my brother blessed me. The second thing was on my way, okay, as well, it was my first time flying as well. So the whole trip was my first time flying. And then on my way back, the first flight, I was like, oh, Lord, it would be cool to just go in business class, see how it is there, but it won't be possible. And then I went to my second departure. Is it 30 seconds yet? And then the lady phoned me, and she's like, you've been upgraded to business class. So, yeah, the Lord is faithful.
Okay. Edwin, regular flyers, you must go to. Are you jealous? Okay, what we're going to do now, sorry, we went over time. So if you have to leave now, you're welcome to. But what we're going to do is we're going to get the, okay, Sarah, can you come and stand here for me? Matthew, can you come and stand here? You're the middle man. And then Austin, you're on that side. Okay, now, where are all the small group facilitators, that leadership group? Where are you guys? Okay, you can stand. Okay, now group yourself with one of these people. Okay, you don't have to greet them. You need to know their names by word of knowledge. Okay, so we're going to get, now you see everybody in front of you, all of them have birthdays, so we need all their birthdays now. Are you going to call out their birthdays? Okay, no, we're not going to do that. I'm just joking. Okay, what they bring is amazing, and it's one of those risk-taking cultures and to go out and really just stimulate our faith. So I told them, okay, whatever you want to share, just share so that we feel our ceiling is there, but we know from the Bible and what we've heard from God is the ceiling is there. So we want to activate that kind of faith tonight. So we're going to, if those of you who really feel that you want to activate your faith, choose a group. They're going to pray for you. We need to work through everyone, so don't, not too long. Maybe Clive, you can do a 1 minute, no. We're a 1 minute thing. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to activate that faith, not only to believe, yes, God exists, but also that he still do all those miracles that we see in the book of Acts and that. Okay, so if you want to leave, you're welcome. There are coffee, and there will be miracles happening at the coffee also. But just come forward so that we can pray for you. That would be amazing. Okay, cool. Feel free to stand up. And if you have a specific need, also we will pray for you. Okay.